Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Monday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is April 15th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing great. You know, I gotta start.
Oh.
I gotta start here with the anti-good guy Jerry Award.
Okay. Got a couple submissions.
And this goes to all my fellow media members. I was disappointed.
What happened?
Disappointed.
What?
The fine folks at Augusta National gave every media member a wonderful, wonderful gift. A reusable water bottle. Reusable.
Look at you sucking up to Augusta National right now.
It was a great gift. They installed a thing that you could go fill
dispenser,
up the water.
Yeah.
I filled my water bottle up last night, and it has one of those counters on it, and it was in the 630s. I returned in the middle of the day and filled up my water bottle again, and the number was at 637.
So nobody was using the water bottle.
Nobody was nobody was worried about the planet. Everybody was just going for the water bottles, going for the convenience.
So you're saying the anti-good guy Jerry Award is the entire media
center at the Masters.
Well, they're too busy shuffling into the free sandwiches and everything else they got there.
I'm not saying I didn't use
water bottles. I just go for the plastic bottles.
I used some, but I also mixed in my reusable.
We had someone nominate Ludwig for the anti-good guy Jerry Award because he got the snack knocked out of his hand walking from 9 green to 10 T and didn't pick it up.
You know, I gotta say, I was right there and I saw that happen, and then Joe, Max's caddy, grabbed him.
Yeah.
And said something to him.
To the fan.
No, to Max.
Okay.
And I was going to ask Max what he said, but I got this like coughing bout and had to exit quick quotes.
Really?
Yeah. I was about to ask him.
It could have been like Curtis Strange, like, you know, going to the back nine. Remember that amazing quote he talked about, that walk?
I got like pollen or something.
Oh, God.
And I started coughing. I had to leave. And I'm just like, that's all
I was
wondering.
It could have been an all-time quote, like the Curtis Strange talking to himself on the walk to the 10th tee. Who knows? I'm not sure it would have mattered. Any, you know, good guys, snacks, pep talks. Scottie Scheffler's your winner. He's won his second green jacket in 3 years. He did it in similar convincing fashion. You know, last time he was able to, four putt the 18th green to still win by multiple shots. Today, he clears the field by four. Ludwig is your runner-up. Tommy Fleetwood just sliding in there with the third place finish. Just vintage Tommy. I'm surprised it wasn't Xander, to be quite honest. But Scheffler just crushes the field. The day was easier than Friday and Saturday. It was not hard. It was not easy, though. Let's be clear. And as you know, Scotty opened the door on Saturday, right? He gave you that mistake on 10, and then he misses his first four greens. Ted Scott said, Colin Morikawa's caddy, JJ Yakovic, or whatever his name is, I think that's how you pronounce it, started cracking on him on 5 when Scotty finally hit a green. He's like, good job, Teddy, finally getting your guy on a green, because they misread the wind on 1-2. Like, he gave the field chances over the last, I don't know, 25 holes or so, 27 holes. And then it was done. The window was open and boom, it was shut by about 8. And it was time for everybody else to kind of self-immolate.
I think he gave them a chance, but
it wasn't his A stuff. He still won by 4.
Yeah, he gave him a chance. I think the thing that I walk away with and from this whole thing, from this whole Masters, is like, we love to sit and talk about, oh, you need this skill at Augusta National. You need this skill. Well, this skill is really important at Augusta National.
Got to be able to chip. Second shots.
You know what I... Gotta, and this might be like very obvious and almost too obvious, but I think it like goes... It might be like not talked about enough. You know what you have to be at Augusta National?
Good.
You have to be good at everything.
Yeah.
And I thought today was like a perfect example of how Augusta National wears on you. And if you have a weakness, it's going to expose it. You can hit away from things. You can try and avoid things. You know what did Colin in? Chipping. Like, he was short on 9. It was a bad decision to be short on 9, but he didn't have the short game of Scottie Scheffler. Scottie Scheffler got up and down. He would put... You know, one of the things Scottie Scheffler can do, he picks really smart targets and he plays really smart, but he can move that target just a little bit more aggressively than most people because he might be the best short game player in the world. He's certainly one of the 5 best players around the green in the world. Scottie Scheffler's only chink is short putting, which we saw him miss a few short putts. But when you're so extraordinarily good, when you have the ability, like, I think, like, one of the things that goes under the radar, and we talked about this a little bit last night, is the driving accuracy. I mean, he can hit it a lot further than he does on a regular basis, but he just has this ability to hit the ball in the fairway when he wants to. And it goes plenty far the way he hits it. But, you know, to go back to this, like, no weakness thing, we saw Max, I thought, like, Max couldn't play 13 the way everybody else played 13. He hit 3-wood and he laid up. You know, that was a weakness. He couldn't hit a driver and turn the ball over or hit it like straight enough. I don't know what. He just said he doesn't like that tee shot. So he's left hitting 3-woods and laying up on 13. You know, Scotty played that hole 3-under the last 2 days. That matters. He hit it in 2 both days. You want to talk about Ludvig. I thought Ludvig, of all the players, looked like the guy that had the least amount of holes in his game.
He shot a 69 hitting it in the water on 11 with a double.
And, like, I think that was just one bad swing. I listened to his press conference. He said, I was aiming right at the green like I did every other day.
Yeah.
And I just... It, you know, the wind got it, and I pulled it.
Nobody's playing. Nobody's playing to that pin. You know, they're playing outright. Yeah.
But I walked away from today. It's like you knew what Morikawa's weaknesses were. Like, the putter wasn't great, and the short game wasn't great.
It felt like Colin hit a dot. He fired a dot into 6, missed the putt there, and it felt like that was like kind of a big chance, and then. And then, like, he's talked all week, like, it's sort of iffy.
7,
I'm
he had
searching.
A good look, too. He
right,
had a really 7, good look yep. on 7, too.
He's like, it's iffy, I'm searching, and that started to come to fruition a little bit as, like, you know, the screws tightened down the stretch. 11 clearly was a miss hit. And it was kind of over by then. We should talk.
And I will say, like, I think one of the things with Max, you talk about 12.
Yeah. Big bounce.
All day yesterday, his misses when he missed were left. Left on 1 off the tee. Left on 8 off the tee. When I think like 1's a really good example.
That's 7 where today, he hit like a snap hook almost. Real low. 7. Go ahead.
When you really feel the heat, like the first tee is a spot you really feel the heat.
Mm-hmm.
He's standing on... that 12th tee, 1 shot out of the lead. That's a moment of heat, and he made a fairly good swing, but it came out left.
Big bounce.
A little long. And that's...
Not bad, but it was a big bounce. Yeah. Into the whatever it is, the low shrubs. Yeah. I mean, that was where it all happened, right? Scotty goes 8, 9, 10. Birdies avoids the mistake... while Aberg hits it in the water, Colin goes boom at 9 and 11, and Max hits it in the bushes on 12, and boom.
I thought the swing that got Scotty going, because he wasn't that sharp. Like, he didn't look great.
Missed the shot his first four greens.
The shot he hit on 8, the second shot, where he hit like an... That was an unbelievable shot.
So the
that
pass,
rope, yeah. The rope hook, it was like perfect. That left side of the fairway is not a good spot to be. And I think that also like illuminates Scheffler, like why he's on a different level. He's hitting all the shapes.
Yeah.
I mean, that was I think it was a 3-iron from 245.
But a lot of those guys weren't getting that far back. Like, he sent it all the way to the back.
He's turning it over.
Yeah.
He's hitting at least a straight ball off 13 with a driver. You know, he's hitting the shots that the other guys don't have.
Two-time Masters winners, Jose Maria Olazabal, Seve, Crenshaw, Lahner, Tom and Bubba Watson, Horton Smith, Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson, and Scotty Scheffler. Hogan, Nelson, Tom Watson. That's pretty incredible company. And it's interesting, like, it's just his second major. Like, there's a lot of two-time major winners in this era, right? Colin Morikawa being one, the guy he beat today in the final group.
I just,
if you look back of all this era, and, you know, this is where you'd probably say, you know, Justin Guiland is booming. Like, this post-Tiger era, whatever you want to call it, it feels like there's been an opportunity for two-time jacket winners on multiple occasions, or at least the thought that certain guys would win. We all know it's very, very hard. It's deeper than ever, all that stuff. But it's interesting that, boom, within, like, this guy getting super hot about January of 2022,
yeah,
is now in this. We're talking about, like, a 15, really, since, like, 2005. He's the one. He's the only non-Tiger player. I guess Bubba did it twice, right? But of the generation, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The post, this like young generation, it was Scotty that all of a sudden grasped it.
I think you're overlooking something.
Who? What?
That's an impressive list.
Just a Guiland.
That's a very impressive list, the two-time Masters champions.
Yeah.
But
major. Yep.
Two-time Masters. Yep. Masters champions. You're overlooking a more illustrious two-time champion list.
Oh God.
The players.
Who is that?
Jack Davis? Nicklaus. No,
Davis. Love Tiger.
Tiger.
Uh-huh.
And Fred Couples.
Okay.
You tell me what's more impressive.
I mean, given that the players has, you know, half the history, I would say the Masters, because it goes back. I don't know. God, Hogan and Nelson. It's unbelievable. I mean, now Scheffler.
I'm sorry for the
no, it's
sarcastic,
a good one. No, that's what we're here for. Everybody keeps throwing around the word inevitable. It felt like that became the time. I don't know. He opened the doors at various times. He's not 100%. Like, whatever. I'm not going to suggest he's, you know, walking on well. He had you could see the tape of his shoulder through his linen shirt or through his orange shirt. And that's residual, I assume, from the player stuff. It feels kind of, I don't know. Everybody's like, oh, man, it's done. Like, I heard a guy as soon as 14. Can we talk about low-key 14? Like, seems like it's been a deciding hole. I know 15 gets so much love, but feels like it's been that's where Rahm, like, really kind of slammed the door last year. I feel that's where Scotty shut the door this year. Like, an amazing. I got the best spot, like, right behind the flag there. So cool to see the ball, like the light is kind of off that behind him at that point, amen corner. Ball just kind of land. Will it take the slope? Yes. And take, like, it's very, it's, you can access it, right? If you play the right slope of that section, and he knows what he's doing, and he just kind of, he threw it to the back, let it feed off the back, roll down. You're like, oh man, it's done. It is so fun to watch shots into that green, and especially when someone who knows exactly the section and how to use that slope. It's like it was like out of a video game. It was like in your dreams. This is how you want to watch this shot played, and I got it right in front of me. It was so cool.
You think about the irons just from 8 on. He hits that rope 3-iron. Yeah. Unreal.
Nine,
he hits it to 6 inches. Yep. That was an amazing shot. I was that nine's such an easy hole to get a great vantage point. I'm standing there. I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
10, perfectly executed. The pin is short left. He hits it like 10 feet birdies. Long right. Yeah. Makes the putt. Then you go to 11. He hit it exactly where he wanted to hit it. Mm-hmm. He took any number, like he was not going to make worse than 5. And he made a 5. He had a short putt that he missed. 12, hit it right where he was looking.
Yep.
13, hit it right where he was looking. Literally like 2 yards from taking the slope down to the cup, but that had to be right where he was aiming. He hit it like in the water and on the bank earlier in the week. He wasn't going to do that again. 14, he makes that.
Amazing shot.
Makes that shot. Easy birdie. 15, he hits it. I am certain that he hit it. This is now risen after I watched this.
He definitely did.
I think this might be the worst feature at Augusta National.
Worst is a strong term, but it's the bunker, it's in the running, huh?
Right. It's a bailout bunker. It has no purpose. It's like a good place to hit it.
It removes some of the risk reward decision, like the moment, like yeah. of going from one side to the other.
It's a terrible bunker because yeah. Scotty just like looked at. I'm positive and Teddy probably just said, just hit it into that bunker.
Send it out there.
And I think he hit it right there.
He was on the...
Then he birdied 16. I mean, like, what... And he talked about this. He put the gas pedal down. So many guys get in that spot, and they just are trying to get it to the house.
Well, he talked about that. Yeah. And after, he's like, I knew I had to make birdies. I know if I shot even par, it might be okay. But I also didn't want to be in a position where I had to birdie 18 or par 18. I didn't want to be in a position where I had to par 18 because he thought Ludwig, quite honestly, he said Ludwig was going to keep pushing him. And so he's like, yeah, I put the gas down. I don't know. We talked about it earlier this week with Tiger, how it seems to reward like artists, like the players who love actually playing golf and not just as a job. And to hear him talk about using the molded grip on the range, like he's not a guy that needs necessarily like the foresight quad on every shot, right?
Do you think he needs it on the greens?
Maybe that's what he needs on the greens. Phil Kenyon might be Phil Kenyon carries like the Waffle House menu, right? On the
we saw him with Max Homa.
Or Homa?
It was Homa. Early in the week, it looked like he was an offensive coordinator,
but like a Matt Nagy type with the extra fold in the sheet, like a three sheet.
I think
but it's on the range. He's just using the molded grip. He's like, someone asked him, what are you? I was like, I don't know. I'm just trying to like feel it out, get loose. And so to watch him, I know some people think he's boring and maybe some people don't think like the religious stuff is not for them and that's fine. But like, if you actually watch the golf and you watch him hit it to these sections, run the slope of 16, run the slope of 14, play the right miss on whatever it is, 12, 15, 11, like, it is exhilarating to watch, especially when you know the guy behind it is, like, sort of just loves to just feel it. He's like, I just want to feel it. Put that molded grip in my hand just to kind of make a few swings and feel it. It is, like, an endearing game to get behind.
The whole thing, there is, like, a little bit of a Tiger-like thing going on. I don't want to say it's... But, like, Scotty makes that run 8, 9, 10. And then everybody fell apart.
Everybody at that very moment.
It was everybody was tied.
Yeah, everybody was at 7 under on 8, 9, tee and 8 green. Everybody was at 7 under.
And Scotty makes 3 birdies, and literally everybody crumbles. And I think like, okay, that happened, but then when you go read quotes,
and
you listen to the way his peers. The way superstars in the sport are talking about him, and it makes sense. He's the big bad wolf. He's sitting there. He's looming. They are intimidated by him. And I think, like, it's not surprising to me that the two guys that played that challenged him the most were Homa and Ludwig weren't playing with him. Like, Morikawa had a very tall task having to play with the guy.
Right now, yeah, this guy for the last 3 years, who he's been.
He's intimidating because he's better than you at everything.
Yeah.
I just like you. Anybody that's played competitive golf or even golf at the club, when you play with somebody that you know is better than you, and I think these guys at this point know that he's better. I think Jon Rahm, part of what was weird about the whole ceremony might be that he was sitting there thinking, this guy's better than me.
Can you elaborate? I did not see the butler. I was out running around on the course. The butler cabin ceremony. Apparently,
I don't know
there wasn't
what
like
was
a
going
handshake
on.
And people made a news of that. Thought they were, they, but they
well,
looked great
Shipley
on the green
was like
ceremony.
Looking, Shipley was like looking away.
Okay.
I don't know.
It seems they
going
were
on.
Buddy buddy and fine on the green ceremony trophy presentation. But the butler cabin, there was like an awkward moment or two, is what I
mean.
Read.
The butler cabin's always it awkward.
Yeah. What would be the surprise if it wasn't awkward? That's fair.
I mean, it's just
the pomp and circumstances of the butler cabin.
I mean, do you want some quotes?
Yes, but
before we get to quote corner.
Slap that helmet, Andy. Give us a slap on that helmet. We are back in the Dratty house. You talk about something that people know is better than everybody. We can test to this. Be Dratty is better than everybody when it comes to our apparel. Use the promo code SGS30. We went sport today.
Had to throw it into sport mode. Had to.
85. Got to wear pants tomorrow. Toasty. I'm going Brian Pant. I'm going sport top. I got to go. It's going up to like 87, maybe 90 tomorrow.
The nice thing, though, is you're going to be able to walk in shade. You're going to get some relief. I sat down for a little while, and I was just baking in the sun today. It was crazy. You know what I was thankful for?
What's that?
I was thankful I was in a very breathable, comfortable shirt. That dries out quick if you get a little moisture going.
I thought yours was about to be an anti-trees take with the shade, that there's too much shade out there.
No.
Okay.
Get to that later.
you want to go into the ornamentals in the middle of the ad read?
I say this every year. I've said this every year that since I've attended. There's always a moment where I'm just looking around, and today it was I was sitting behind six. I'm sitting behind six. I'm watching. It's a splendid place to watch. But right. Like you're just like watching one hole. You're committing. And I'm just looking. And I think I might have been in the same place last year when I talked about this on the pod. I was sitting in my sport polo.
Uh-huh.
I had my Zach shorts on.
Yeah, we made the audible
midday. I was
midday.
In peak breathability, peak performance. And I was just sitting looking up five. Five sits right above it. It's a beautiful ridgeline. Yeah. And there's just a bunch of shit ornamentals in my way of seeing like what's going on five. It would be an epic view. You'd have all these fans. You'd be able to see the shots up into five green. You'd be able to see the players' reactions. But instead, I'm looking at like little flowering bushes.
We got the horticulture team, the off-the-wrench horticulture.
It could just be these towering pines that you're looking through and seeing. It would be the most epic. It's already such an epic place. It's an epic place to spectate. But it's just like the low-hanging fruit and what they could be. But they choose these flowers instead?
Oh, maybe that's crowd management. Maybe
it's
if
not
you could
crowd
see
management.
Through multiple. I don't know. All right.
I can't wait till Augusta updates its 90s look.
The ornamentals. Well, if we want an updated look, you just use
I'll
that
tell you
promo
what it's not. 90s apparel. Be Dratty. SGS30.
All seriousness, it's been another Masters week. I think they've sponsored us pretty much every Masters week and many major weeks. Otherwise, people seem to enjoy when we're together in person. They enjoy the live on-the-ground pods, dailies, and Be Dratty for us has done that. A lot of hit no merch this week, and a lot of that was pretty much all their stuff. So use the promo code SGS30 at BeDratty.com. For 30% off.
All right. I want people to listen to a couple of these quotes through the context of like Scottie's the best player in the world and his peers are talking about him, right? And think about the psychological of playing this guy on Sunday when he's in the mix. Here's Rory McIlroy. The question is, you've been on tears like Scottie is on. We talked about this at the API. What's in his head right now? Nothing. not a lot of clutter. The game feels pretty easy when you're in stretches like this. That's the hard thing whenever you're not quite in form. You're searching and you're thinking about it so much, but then when you are in form, you don't think about it at all. So it's trying to find that balance. Colin Morikawa.
I was in quick quotes for this one, and it was just, I mean, credit to Colin. Like, this is what you want to hear.
Great press conference from Colin.
Says they asked, what is he doing? He used the gap. I know what to do if I really want to close this gap, and how impressive. So he uses the word gap. We're not at the same spot right now.
So
gap
this
implies.
Is a guy that has as many majors as him.
Similar
roughly
ages.
About the
Walker
same
Cup
wins.
Together. He says, what was he doing with that gap? Everything. He drives the ball plenty, plenty long, well past me. A lot of players, elite players, multiple major winners, don't say that easily. Don't offer that quickly. Well past me. He hits his irons, obviously spectacular, keeps it simple, makes the putts when he needs to. If he doesn't, he still has plenty of chances. Never puts himself in trouble. Side note, I will say Scotty said his short game was the thing today.
Yeah.
That saved him. And I think that he's referring mostly to those first four holes.
The short game's incredible. He hit it into the third bunker. Him and Morikawa were in the third bunker. Morikawa hits it like a good shot to like 12 feet. Scotty hits it to like, I didn't see exactly how far. It looked like it was like 3 or 4 feet.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it was perfect. It's like, God.
Yeah.
He just is.
Yeah, it's incredible. And this is, again, where Colin's taken notice. So how big is the gap? The way he's playing right now, it's impressive. The distance he's hitting it, again, he talks about how far past him he's hitting it. The distance he's hitting it and how good he's hitting his irons. When I feel like I'm on my irons, I could be anywhere in the fairway and be comfortable. But it's also the difference if he's hitting pitching. We made a joke, JJ and I, on 5 today. I hit an okay drive. He was 25 past me. He probably hit an 8 or 7 iron, and I hit a 5 iron. It's a pin on a course like this where height helps. That's just one extra hole. We both made par, but he was able to stop the ball a little quicker. It's impressive what he's doing throughout the bag. He was always a great short game player. His chipping and putting was always great. This whole putting, you know, he talks about like his putting troubles, but what he's doing with his irons is crazy impressive because he's hitting every shot both directions, and it's something that I admire that hopefully I can get my game back to that kind of spot. So talking about he can't hit his irons as well as he can, offering this as an admission, and he is hammering it well past me, and I got to hit 5 iron when he's hitting 7 or 8.
If you think back to even Wyndham at the API, you're talking about arguably like who's been the second best player in the world over this, the last year or so, is Wyndham Clark could be in the top 3 or 4 players in the world over that period. And he's like, he's just happy to be competing, like close to beating him.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
He was just like, I'm just happy I gave Scotty a good run.
Right. Ted Scott, the targets seem big when you're caddying for Scotty Scheffler. It's Scotty Scheffler things right now. I think we talked about all the shots right now, the shot making, but your quote with Rory, like the stuff we can't see or the stuff we can't measure in stats, his mental like clarity or just
right
complete uncluttered mind, whatever it is on a totally different level. I was trying to think of the cross sport comp, and as I was walking around, like, all right, 14, like he gave you your chances last Saturday, maybe the first four holes today. I came up with Mahomes right now, and I get that it's different. Golf is very different. Beating 89 or 155 players is very different than just winning an AFC championship. But for me, it feels like Mahomes. There are other great players. There's Josh Allen. There's Joe Burrow. Like exceptional players who will get him, might get him every now and then, but like on a stage like this, when we know Scotty has played the way he has, it feels like a Mahomes kind of thing, which is nuts to say for a sport like golf.
Yeah, he hasn't shot over par all year.
Were there any other player quotes that really brought
it
up?
I didn't Max was asked about it, and he was like, "Yeah, it's tough. I mean, he's unbelievable, you know." I think that's the thing. It's like there's an intimidation factor, and I was sitting at 12 and just watching everybody just like two balls go in the water on 11. Max go in the bushes on 12, and Scotty just keep puttering along, you know. And it's just like they just fell apart.
So I think our
and that's the thing. Scotty didn't have to. He didn't have to hit the 12th tee shot with everybody locked up. By the time he hit his 12th tee shot, he had a 3-shot lead.
Right. Right. You really needed to have a just a guy moment. Like, you really, yes, at that point. And he's not anyone that's doing that right now. He's just not. Our tendency is to overreact when players win a second major or players win multiple events in a row, and we say, this is why, is there any reason to believe this is going to slow down? Does it's going to slow down? Because
absolutely.
It has to, right?
It's going Colin to slow
Morikawa,
down.
We were probably talking about, like, in these terms, if you, I think Scotty's, this run by Scotty is the most impressive kind of run since Rory 2014, maybe more. Brooks has won 5 freaking majors. So I don't know. We tend to overreact and talk about the future when guys get a second or guys win a lot in a short time span. And it won't, it's not sustainable. But when we're sitting here and haven't watched any breaks in the armor besides like a putting thing that prevented the greatest ball striking season in 30 years or whatever, 20, from being, I don't know, a 7-win season. That's about what we're relying on. When does this stop?
I got something for you.
What's that?
Perspective.
Perspective. Fatherhood.
It's coming for him. I honestly, like,
it seems pretty simple up there, right? in the head. But I don't mean that in a pejorative way at all.
Right now, it just seems like nothing should change with him. And I'm not saying don't have kids here. I love being a father. But, like, I don't know. I think, like,
is he going to win 10 majors? Is he going to 5 majors? What are we talking about?
I think the way his game is rooted, right? Like, it is. Do you foresee him becoming a bad iron player? Let's just say, do you see him going from top 5 iron player, probably the best iron player in the world? We'll just say top 5 player because it's like, you know, somebody could jump him to 1. Do you see him falling out of the top 5 in iron play anytime soon?
No.
Do you see him becoming a above average instead of elite short game player anytime soon?
No.
So then we get to, like, what are the 2 things that could derail him?
Putting wild,
and like the driver yips.
Yeah. Getting wild.
And I don't think that's going to happen.
Don't you think we would have talked about Colin Morikawa in these terms probably in 2022?
I think Colin had the putter and he had the distance as 2 things that were like, I don't know if every course works for Colin. Like, okay, this is the thing with Scotty, is like, what course doesn't work with him?
Okay.
So since 2020, 15 major starts, 2 wins, 10 top tens. Since 2022, he's got 2 Masters, 2 players, 5 other wins. So 9-year span, he's got 9 wins. 2 of them have been the Masters, 2 players.
Gold standards.
And then, like, other big time events, 2 Bay Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no cupcakes.
Big Phoenix win.
A big Phoenix
deep
win.
Deep field.
I think a playoff event's in there too.
It's interesting. I get scary every time a guy wins a major, like projecting.
It does.
Clearly, his game is suited to every kind of condition. This was a hard. This wasn't a dartboard. This was very hard and windy and firm and everything you want. He's contended at, I think, every major in form or fashion. So this is not a guy that only plays a certain style. So he's too good.
Really? I mean, like, he's got two Masters and he's only played 3.
No, that can't be right. Probably 4, maybe a minimum 4.
So he's got 2 Masters and 4 attempts. Like, The golf course seems pretty good for him. And I think like Pinehurst is going to be really good for him, you know?
Yeah.
I just don't.
He's gone T19, T18, 1, T10, 1.
So he's got 5.
Five. No worse than a T19 as a rookie, his first appearance. Kind of crazy.
I will say I'm very impressed with Ludvig.
That's where I wanted to go next.
And I think like there were, he had one bad swing, but if that doesn't happen, I think this would have been a very tight ball game.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't tight. It wasn't. I mean, Scotty made it. Ludvig tried.
He tried.
I'm not
going to
jam him.
He had a double.
Yeah, he hit in the middle, not the middle, off the bank. Colin hit in the middle. Colin hit it clear in the middle of that pond. it wasn't tight. He gave Scotty the breathing room, but Scotty didn't even need it. Wildly impressive stuff. I have no criticism of Ludvig in any shape, form, or fashion. It's his first major championship ever. Feels a little Scottish in terms of the unemotion, the deadpan. I'm not saying their games are similar, but...
Well, I think when you start to look at that game, I mean, it's the driving. The driving's like Scotty on a different level.
Yeah, it's even, more intense. Those are missiles. They're missiles.
And the swing's just so simple. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just some, like...
I love that his coach is Peter Hansen. The old lion, the old war horse. He was walking around. He walked every hole out there with Fanny Sunnison.
I mean, listen, like, the difference between Ludvig and Scotty. Ludvig made two doubles. Scotty just doesn't make big numbers.
Besides 10. That was the only thing. 10 Saturday, which was a shocker.
Scotty tore up the par fives. It's like a simple recipe. He was 9 under on the par fives. He finished 11 under.
Is there anything about Ludvig's game that you feel is not as multidimensional as Scotty, where he might, there's a major that maybe doesn't work, or there's a kind of golf that doesn't work? It doesn't feel like that.
He drives the ball like that.
The way it's going.
Yeah. I was like a little worried about his iron play, just because we haven't seen him hit off like these types of lies, but it held up. I mean,
there's just not a big track record of there's.
I don't want to heap like huge expectations. I saw somebody asked him like if he was ready to be the face of golf.
No,
in his press conference. Yeah, they asked him that, and he like chuckled. And he's like, well, I don't think I'm going to be the face of golf anytime soon. I mean, you're asking him that when everybody else is talking about like is Scotty like can
the next
anybody
Tiger.
Beat Scotty?
Yeah, yeah, is he Tiger like? Though I did a TV thing with Sky, and both Euro correspondents picked him to win. I think the Euros are like, and that includes Britain. Like we had a 4-person panel, and more people picked Ludvig to win than Scotty Scheffler of the 4 people. It's absurd. Like they're gonna face of golf. Like it, Scotty was in the lead. If golf hadn't started yet, it's absurd. But that's not a discredit to Ludvig. It just seems like they are gonna try to push him as the face of European golf already.
So Scotty played the par threes 9 under or par fives 9 under. Ludvig played the par fives 6 under. And the 6 under was because of the 15th hole.
Yes.
He played it 3 over for the week.
I watched that today. Yeah. You can't,
I mean, this
you
gotta
bail into that bunker you love.
It's not like rockets. It's not. I think like par fives show how well your overarching game is. Like they are a great indicator of your golf game. If you're driving it well, they're extraordinarily easy. And if you're driving it well, you're going to have good chances. Like if you approach it well, then you're going to have easy birdies. If you approach it okay, but your short game's really good, you'll have easy birdies. Like it just is like such an encompassing. If you look at par fives, especially at Augusta National, it just shows how a guy's playing, how sharp they are. You know, if you look at Rory, I think Rory was even on the par fives coming into today. And I think he played him a little bit better today. But, like, that's the difference between a guy that's playing that is not sharp and a guy that's clicking on all cylinders. And, like, Ludvig, if it wasn't for 15, is 9-under. And it's a one-shot, you know, ball game.
You have any Max cleanup? I know we've talked a little bit about him. We kind of hit on Ludvig and Colin and Max. Those were the four main characters. And Max felt like, man, he felt like the biggest pusher there on 12th tee. Like, he was the guy that was going to push him, push Scotty to the end. And Scotty was obviously just turned it on behind him.
The shot on 10 was awesome.
Yeah. It was awesome to watch. I really don't have, you can't have any criticism for Max. And is this major, this kind of follows the progression of his career,
that's
right?
What my
searching
big note was
for KFT, right? Like,
I think he's just a slow grower.
Not
like,
competitive and not competitive enough to stick on tour. Then, you know, he gets there and he starts winning, but not competitive in majors. Now he was the best American at the Ryder Cup. Now he's, you know, increasingly more competitive at majors. He was awesome to watch this week. He's just like, Scotty's a buzzsaw, and he made the mistake at 12.
I think he has to hit driver on 13. I like
said that.
You cannot just not go for the 13th green at this point on the weekend when you're playing Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what my big note was on Max is like, he has this, like, he gets to the next stage and then it's, I have to figure this stage out.
Sort of a throwback.
And then I get to the next stage.
Uh-huh.
And I figure that out. And it seems like, especially with last year, like we saw him, you know, and I think he's like very open about this.
Yeah.
I think he said, I haven't done anything in majors. And now he's done something in major. Like, he was on the back nine at Augusta National with a real shot to win.
Mentally, just also seems to have a good bit of clarity. Just like Ludvig, like Scotty. Colin seems to not have that right now. Self-doubt is what I would say. That, you know, of course, he's, you know, got confidence in a bunch of other ways. Can we mix in a little thirst bucket of the day? We had thirst bucket. This is thirst daily thirst bucket awards. We had a quite heartless thirst bucket of the day suggestion.
All right.
Really aggressive. Really sort of ageist. Someone suggested Vern Lundquist should get thirst bucket of the day.
That's insane.
It was his
last day.
It is absurd now that I think about it. But someone suggested it because he went out to the 16th green to shake Tiger's hand before the broadcast. I said it's ageist. Seems a little heartless. I can't give old Vern thirst bucket of the day. We had a late charger come down the stretch. I'll give it to him in a minute. A lot of questions about how Vern gets into the 16th tower. Fair question to ponder. I believe they're calling the golf from a bunker on the other side of the road. I think. I don't think they're in the towers anymore. I could be wrong, but
he doesn't go in the tower.
I don't think so. This has been a subject of off the record debate with other writers.
Cameron's saying amusement. He might have photographic evidence.
He's in the tower.
Somebody told me he was in the tower.
Okay. Well then. Ponder all you want, you know, lift. I'm not sure how he gets up there.
I saw somebody on Twitter said that he called Fleetwood Food today. Fleetwood. Can I tell a little story if we're doing story time?
Yeah. Can we just finalize thirst bucket of the day?
Then all right.
Coming up on the outside and passing Vern.
Vern wasn't in the race.
He wasn't in the race?
He was just a pace car.
The new Ricky Fowler, global superstar, thirsty Tom Kim.
I mean, he finished the round hours ago.
Hours. He had just signed his card. We were out there listening to Tiger talk, and he just signed for the low round of the day. Thirsty Tom Kim ambles down to the 18th green to give Scotty the big hug. He's walking through the human tunnel to the scoring.
Didn't he give Max a big hug too?
I don't know. He could have. I didn't get up back there in time. But Thirsty Tom Kim wins Thirst Bucket of the Day. Congrats on his little round. But yeah, he also gets the Thirst Bucket Award too. What's your story, Todd?
Well, I got one of the early week stories was our guy Matthew Pavon.
Pavon, the Pavontourage.
The Pavontourage.
Yeah.
So
big sun sleeves guy.
he was on the putting green today, getting ready for his final round. It was the sparsest crowd that I ever saw around the putting green all week. So he might have a big entourage, but he doesn't have a big fan base right now.
That's all right. That's all right. I love Pavon.
I'm going to jam Pavon. You here.
Oh, God. You're letting open in the notebook right now. I got a bunch.
I'm not
right.
opening all the notebook.
Okay.
You called a nice, a sweet, older woman, sir. You said, thank you, sir.
This is so off the record. You're jamming me. I said, yes, sir. Are you waiting for a car or a cart? Like, yes, sir. And it was not a sir. It was a ma'am. And I quickly called myself. I said, sweet. I mean, ma'am. But she was jamming me. She let me have it.
Oh, that was great. She just went after Brendan. Numerous things. The one thing I wrote down.
I got to stop talking like this. I did this for one of my kids' basketball games. To a ref.
You were like,
I said, yes, sir, and it was a ma'am, and then I didn't get a call the rest of the game. It wasn't on purpose.
I wish she would have gone Zatch and gone, don't sir me.
She got a good point. What a good relevant golf weave there.
So she's going at Brendan. Oh, I mean, I'm not going to use, she pointed at her bosom.
But I'm not a sir.
Do you see these?
Yeah, it was awkward. I was like, sorry.
She was animated. She was wonderful.
She was
great.
And
then she was looking Brendan up and down, looking him up and down. And she goes, where did you think this golf tournament was being held? Alaska? You got a vest on? You got pants on? She went at you.
I like wearing the vest for pockets. I like have my pen and my notepad in one pocket. I need extra pockets. I like having the stations there. But she was, yeah.
She lit you up.
Yes, sir. Ma'am. I just said my mouth got running ahead of my brain there. So, yeah, that's a problem. It's been happening to me more and more. I just got to stop. So let's say yes.
Let's run down the leaderboard a little bit more. Like any notes of anything you want to talk about with the guys in the top?
No, do you? Fleetwood and Xander.
I think just to put a bow on it.
Yeah. Oh, I've got it. I got it.
Bryson.
Yes.
Was honestly the you know, again, you have to do this you know, this is one of the people that has lit golf on fire. He has taken the Saudi money, but it was wonderful to have him back. And the content he creates,
I think
the excitement.
Being back too.
Oh my God.
He was having a ball.
The fans.
Pig and shit.
I saw him on 12 like yesterday and he got this huge ovation and you could just see he was like enjoying it so much. That doesn't happen on the tour he's playing on.
No. You don't think the Crushers section is giving it to him like that? He was, it was great. Great to have him. I love having Bryson there. Some observations from Bryson's round. And this is more of a course subject. He hit it 365 on 8. He was about 40 or 50 past the bunker, into the crosswalk or past the crosswalk, 203 in. So he's, I'd say 40 to 50 yards, I would say past the bunker on 8 and 203 in.
That's where you're going to be hitting it tomorrow.
you're counseling me to just bludgeon. Just go. We're playing member
teams. Not just me. Who's saying bludgeon?
Yeah, we had a member. And we had a, yeah, someone who knows the course say, I need to bludgeon. Is that what you're? Yeah.
He said, rip. you got to coach Brendan into hitting all drivers. Driver well, everywhere. I think you are going to try and turn it into par 67.
So what are we doing with 8? Does the bunker need to be pushed back, or is Bryson just a one? I mean, I'm not talking clear it. He was past the crosswalk.
Yeah,
Tiger. Scotty's hitting it into the crosswalk on 9. Hit a fan. Like, it's a thing.
It's. I mean, the ball's going forever. It was hot today.
Yeah.
And the ball goes forever. The dry. I mean, I.
We don't need to get too far down this rabbit hole, but just seeing the bunker be just not even a thought.
Well, that's it. Yeah, I think Rory blasted it over it too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. They just moved that tee back not that long ago, and they need to move it back further, or they need to move the bunker.
He did make a par on 8, even though he hit it, you know, at 203.
That's not point. That's not the point.
I know, but that's
he might have made a bogey if the bunker was in play.
Bryson birdied 4 and 5 today. Insane round. Shot 73. He was just that opening, whatever it was, 67. Then it was kind of just 65, just sort of holding on the rest of the days.
Big step in the right direction for the guy.
Yeah.
This place has been a torture chamber for him.
Right. Any other Bryson notes that you have? I just.
I think I'm going to write a little bit about this. But, you know, I think there's like this thing with Bryson. And he was this young kid who came out. He was a little different. And all the brands just glommed onto him.
Puma,
and I think it was like the worst thing that could have happened to him. Like, we don't really talk about this stuff a lot. But, like, he turned pro and he was, like, on, remember, Microsoft commercials?
Yeah,
and
but he had the goggles on, the Vision Pro before it was Vision Pro.
You had, like, Cobra and you had, like, the narrative of, like, he's going to change the game of golf. And he thinks differently and he had the Hogan cap and he had all these things and, like, I mean, that's a lot for, like, a 23-year-old who's, like, trying to find himself. And, like, I think anybody that, like, if you did, like, a psychology study of Bryson would see that, like, he had some insecurities and he, like, wants to be thought of as smart. And, like, and having all that stuff is not necessarily, like, the best thing, was probably the best thing for him. And now we're seeing, like, an older Bryson. Now, he went to live and he did all this shit, right? But one of the things that happened was that he and Liv have removed the brands from him. He is on YouTube where YouTube rewards authenticity. And, I think he's actually blossoming into, like, kind of who he is.
He's 3D printing irons 2 days before.
Yeah, but, like, think about that. He's not tied to a brand. He's not one of these robots.
I'll tell you who's trying to tie them. This is my note. He's trying to tie them. Glom on. Favorite little bit of tracking today. Crank.
Oh, I saw the people.
This guy was head to toe in crank stuff. Woman in a, you know, small tennis crank dress. They were five. Was like, Crank. Why is Crank? And then they saw it was Bryson. And credit to those people. They stayed with him all the way. They were kind of, they were Charlie Brown in it when Bryson was no longer all the way up 17 Hill. I saw him still tracking Bryson, the Crank reps. Even as, you know, maybe you go watch Scotty or whoever, you know, the contenders, but they stayed with Bryson in the end.
But think about where he is with his equipment. Like, and what the promise of Bryson was this, like, this guy that's going to think differently, that's going to test everything, that's going to, like, you know, he was never going to do that with Cobra.
It sounded like he put Cobra in hell.
Yeah, they did. But, like, that's like him. The, like, Cobra wasn't the place to do that.
Okay.
He had to lose Cobra to get to this place where he's creating an iron from scratch. That's one of one. Getting it somehow. I talked to a high-ranking USGA official today, and I said, I've got some real questions for you guys about these irons. He was like, we were working really hard on them. I was like, my questions are more around, like, I can hit it corrects anywhere on the face, and it goes straight.
Yeah, it just comes back.
Didn't want to really talk about that.
Yeah, he didn't want it, just that whether they were conforming.
I then said, well, maybe you'll take it away when everybody starts to use them, and you know, and you'll do the old Bryson thing, the old switcheroo on them. But, like, you know, I don't think he could ever do what everybody expected him to do when he was tied to brands and having to do the brand speak and not. I think he's, and I don't want to sound like a Bryson apologist. He's different. And would I want to hang out with him? But I do think that he is going, and like, I don't watch a lot of Bryson because I don't watch a ton of Liv, but like, I do think he's going through a really interesting kind of evolution, and like, and I think like people become their fully realized selves into their early 30s. Like when I think about myself as 25, I was an idiot.
Wow. Yeah. I know we still are, but yes, less so for sure.
I'm still an idiot,
but no, I agree. Regardless, he's playing better golf. He seemed like the switch to Live obviously negatively impacted his golf for a year plus there. So, and also getting thick too might have impacted his golf. It seems like he's leveling out, hopefully. And it's good to have him in the mix for sure.
Hey, do you have anything on Xander?
No, he was just perfect house cat behavior. He's pawing at the back door, maybe goes out to the porch, but doesn't go, you know, out into the yard. Just perfect 72-72, even Steven all the way through. Then he drops a 70 on you on Saturday and a nice little 73 for his 8. Another T10 on the Wikipedia page. Never a factor. Tommy Fleetwood, who I love and enjoy his work, doesn't have Finno on the bag, is the big boy today, this week. Sneaks in with a T3. So good
that's,
for them.
That's like the Wikipedia special right there.
I didn't watch the broadcast. I imagine he was barely on it this week, but still, you know, 69 is a, you know, 284. It's a good score. It's a good number. He was 7 shots behind the leader. Go ahead.
Surprise of the day.
What's that?
Rory did not
backdoor it.
Yeah. I thought he was going to be a lock for that T9 spot.
Yeah. I saw him for a bit. Well, it's weird. It's weird to see Rory. He was on 9-tee as Scotty, and the leaders were on 1 green, and all the fans are focused on 1, but there's Rory like right there. It's weird to see him like kind of just not be in it.
Yeah, I think it's weird with all the stars, like Rahm. Sure. Rahm, same thing.
Yeah,
I was disappointed that there weren't any of our fine colleagues, because they were probably going to get bottles of water when John Rahm came through the quick quotes. I wanted somebody to ask Rahm about, like, were there issues with your prep, you know?
Oh, God. He would not have reacted well, I can imagine, to that.
It seems like he just got some softballs. He got, like, 2 questions.
Yeah. Were you thinking of Seve today? You know, always with the Seve questions. Should we have any other players? Anything on the course? I think we've thrown it out there. I love 14 as more of a decider. I feel like Sergio had a big moment there.
We just talk about the general thing?
Like, watering the greens?
No. Like, we dream about weeks like this.
Yeah.
This is what we want every time they come here. We haven't gotten it forever. I can't remember the last firm Masters. And we finally got it. It delivers. When you watch it this week in these conditions, I don't think there's a better golf course at testing the pros.
Interesting. Nothing on the open road unnecessarily.
It's
too short.
I mean, like,
goes too far.
I think the greens are just so amazing at, like, you look at that leaderboard.
What about Pinehurst as we talk about this?
No.
What will there be comparison there? I'm not saying they're comparable.
You can't because Keimer just putted his way around it. Fair. You can't putt your way around Augusta.
Yeah.
Yep. I think, like, you just look at this leaderboard. Can I just read the top 10? I mean, it's fucking crazy. Scheffler, Åberg, Fleetwood, Homa, Morikawa, Cam Smith, DeChambeau, Xander Schauffele, Will Zalatoris, Tyrrell, Cam Young. Like, there is not a player on there in the top 10 that is ever been considered. I mean, maybe Max. Max at one point was a mule. He hasn't been a mule for a while.
I was thinking about this as I was walking down to the back nine. The Masters has done a good job of really cultivating the tournament that puts the best player in the world in a chance to win.
Yes.
Especially over the last five to 6 years. I would say Danny Willett was like the last real, huh?
But he was a great player. He was a very good player.
Yes, very good player. But we're talking like Scotty twice, Rom, Hideki, DJ. The Tiger 2019 might be the one, like, but even then, Tiger's form had been really strong.
I think he was a top 10 player at that point.
In that spring. Yeah. They've, like, in the last decade, and I don't know if it's by design, it's been a tournament where the guy that's playing the best golf has really been able to part of that's the field's a little smaller, but a lot of it's the golf course.
Can I chime in?
Sure.
Venues matter.
Sure.
They matter a lot.
As we'll see. Michael Block coming down the pike. Light it up.
Course record holder.
Valhalla. You ready, baby?
It's the Blocky season. Blocky season's back. He's been quiet. I can't.
Venues matter.
I'm surprised he didn't pop his head up this week.
Yeah, well, I think he's kind of keeping a low profile. Yeah, venues matter. Anything else? Watering the greens, you have any quibble with that?
No.
Phil had a quote. They watered a lot of the greens. They were softer and they were easier pins to get to. Less wind. You just felt like you could make a lot of birdies a day. Somebody's going to make a move. That person was the best player in the world who made the move, yeah. Essentially.
Yeah.
All right, let's rip through odds and ends. There's a guy in a four aces cap who pumped his fist when Scotty went long on four. I thought that was interesting.
I think I saw that guy. Was
no negative cheering.
Was
Bobby
he a
Jones
big guy,
aghast.
Right?
That's
big
like,
guy?
You know, like a little bigger, but he pumped his fist. But what was he rooting for? Colin or what was it? Bryce? I don't know. Four aces. It was just interesting. Pumped the fist when Scotty airmailed it over four.
The other day I was going to point this out. You know what's tough when you're in Georgia?
What?
Telling if somebody's wearing an Alabama shirt or an Aces shirt. All week long, I was looking around. I was like, is that
or
an Aces shirt?
Or Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Good.
A little scuttlebutt. While we're on like similar logos. Oh, unsubstantiated
trademark
rumor.
Corner?
Trademark.
Is this trademark corner?
Unsubstantiated rumor. Maybe substantiated, actually. This is substantiated.
Is it? Okay. Can't remember.
We ran into the founders of a product that is an eerily similar logo to
Sunday Red. Yeah. Tiger Air.
Yes, called Tiger Air.
It's a clip you put on your it's a fan you clip to the top of your hat.
Amazing.
Blows
innovation.
Wind in your air in your face, apparently. Keeps you cool. But the logo looks like the Sunday Red the disembodied tiger thing with all the lines on it, and they're contemplating
legal action.
I mean, these are guys just from their garage who made some fans that clipped your hat. It would be presupposing that. Yeah, trademark corner.
Then
Tiger Air.
Now unsubstantiated.
Okay.
Everybody's favorite 1990s
golf.
We were
so giddy talking to those guys about it. Were you trying to gin them up to pursue legal action? It felt like you kind of were.
Oh, yeah.
These guys were like, I mean, are we really going to take on Tiger freaking Woods, his legal team?
Listen, we had the fried egg just got out of a legal thing, and I'm pretty happy to be out of it.
Just not a bad trademark. We weren't embezzling money or, you know, dealing drugs or something.
But anyways, this is unsubstantiated.
Yeah.
We got substantiated, unsubstantiated, everybody's favorite 1990s golf ball, the one and only Slazenger.
The Slazies.
The cat, when I was a kid, you find a Slazenger, that was great.
Yeah.
It was a great day. They had their titanium ball.
Loved it.
Anyways, the Slazenger is possibly pursuing legal action towards Sunday Red also for the logo. This pieced together logo that they couldn't even get on straight when they did their debut.
The shirt.
Is causing all sorts of problems for Sunday Red.
Yep.
Sunday Red.
Sunday Red. What other random notes you got? I'm going to cap us off with a Gary Player story. I keep that one. Tom Brady was in town doing the Delta party. Apparently he's big. He's committed to doing broadcast. Folks on the inside of the Delta party says he's going to do football. He was practicing out his football, you know, his broadcasting analyst routine at the Delta party.
Do you think he's going to run wind sprints before his broadcast?
He might. I think he might. Apparel corner. Best get up I saw today. Don't know why. Guy in a Frank Thomas jersey. Why is that? What's the thought process? You're going to the Masters? I don't know. I was just amused. Way too many jeans. Not because I don't think jeans should be on the golf, but because it was 87 degrees and it was sweaty and it was crowded. There were guys in jeans. Just like I saw too many jeans out there. That's apparel corner. What do you got?
I was gonna follow up on your Frank Thomas.
Okay.
Do you think that he was wearing a Frank Thomas jersey as some sort of stand against equipment advances?
Yeah.
And the great USGA equipment director that turned a complete blind eye while the equipment companies
Frank
developed
Thomas.
460cc driver heads and solid core golf ball.
I don't think this guy that was wearing the jersey was thinking five steps ahead like that, but I love that you made that connection with the USGA.
It's
oversight.
Whenever I think about the Big Hurt, I grew up watching the Cubs, and then I watched a lot of Hawk Harrelson and the White Sox, and the Big Hurt. I grew up with Sammy Sosa and the Big Hurt. Those were the two Chicago baseball icons. Ozzie Guillen, too.
Any other notes? Any other notes before I do my Gary Player? It was a good guy Jerry Award, in addition to whoever else we throw out. Max carrying his own bag. Love that. Just a little helping Joe out. Just carrying his bag up to 17-2.
You
want to
hear something that's aspirational?
What?
Vijay Singh has not said yes to a press conference at Augusta National in 10 years.
They must not like that very much. People don't say no. Like, you're not like really allowed to say no to press. Like, everyone does press, whether you just shot 85, you know, you're fainting. Like, they just, you, like, USGA or other majors, like, nope. PGA Tour not doing it today. They just don't. That's crazy. What was it? 10 years?
10 years.
Holy cow. He won that jacket. They can't take it away from him. He's just going to keep showing up, not doing media. Were you trying to talk to him?
I wanted to talk to him.
That's why I figured you came into this information. Only guy on the ground trying to talk to Vijay today. All right.
One person remarked, was like, huh? He hasn't said yes all week. I was like, well, maybe you could try for me. And they replied, well, I'm a glutton for punishment. Went in and asked.
Good. That's fabulous. John Rahm seemed a little, bemused by the reaction. He said not everyone gave him the reception he thought. Some did. Some received him with open arms. I expected it. And then there was someone else who I expected to be a little tougher, and one of them hugged me. I think that among all the relationships I have, it has been everything what I expected. My friends are still my friends, and then someone with whom I was very cordial and had a positive relationship, quote unquote, has not even looked at me. I don't know who that could be. Someone he was cordial with didn't even look at him. So, you know, people try to play up, is there still hard feelings? Anyways, he's like, people are going to change their opinions of me. I didn't know who it was, but I don't know. He perceived some different elements out there. What else you got?
I had a note here on 13 when I was sitting in the grandstand. I wrote down, is Max playing for the points?
What a note. What a time well spent writing that down. Love it.
Do you think that was the case?
No, I don't think that was the case at all. I write some pretty amusing notes. I don't know if I got that far. Should we do the Gary Player story? I got this from someone who was trying to get their picture out on the front circle. And the people come up to him. They say, sorry, but members don't want to take it, so they're going to jump in line. Well, it wasn't a member. It was Gary Player and his family. And the family says, you know, grandpa or father, whatever, Mr. Player, he had on a blue blazer. Now, the guy has won three Masters. We ran into another Masters winner who said, like, yeah, you kind of wear it when you get you where you want to go quickly. Get your questions answered quickly. Kind of a perk of winning the thing. You put the green jacket when you're on there. Nope. Old Gary's in his blue blazer. And the grandkids or somebody in the party was like, Grandpa, put your green jacket on for the picture. He goes, oh, I much prefer my blue blazer. What? He's on the circle of the Augusta National Clubhouse.
His grandkid.
What? I don't, it could have been his family party.
I'm sure the grandkid wants the picture of their grandfather
who's won in a
green jacket.
The Masters.
Yes.
He apparently recalcitrant subsided. He put the green jacket on, but not without expressing disdain. Oh, I much prefer this blue one. He's at the Masters, which he's won. Put your jacket on. Just the most Gary Player story I heard. Anything else you got? You want to sign off this Sunday night, Monday morning podcast? Any other notes you want to empty out?
You know, I got a couple here. Did you know, I think Bryson had 2 slow play warnings?
No, I didn't know that.
On Saturday?
I saw Ten Cackett, your guy out there, and Stephen Cox, the whole crew, several of them. I didn't know that. Scotty and Colin were a little behind there on the front nine.
Scotty's dreadfully slow.
All right. He's fast in certain aspects. Tee box, usually in the fairway.
He's not the fairway.
Yeah, sometimes. It depends. Teddy slows him down a lot. Teddy comes in.
Well, should we talk about Ted Scott for a second?
Sure. What about him?
He's got four.
Crazy.
Caddy for four.
Seems like a good caddy. Knows what he's doing.
You know what? You know what Rory needs?
What?
Needs Ted Scott.
To win the Masters.
You know what JT needs?
Ted Scott. Oh, that just, there we go.
Can you imagine how many Masters Rory McIlroy would have?
You love your caddy take. You love writing it up. All right. Yeah, they were a whole lot. Any other notes you got? Bryson got 2 slow play warnings, potentially.
On Saturday.
He was in the final group on Saturday. Is that right? Yeah. They were a little slower. Anything else?
No. I don't have anything else. It was a great week.
Amazing week. Thanks to B. Dratty. Good Walk Coffee.
The subs.
Got some prizes. Got some giveaways ready to give them away.
It's not too late. We'll call it off on Wednesday. We'll give you a little time, a little procrastination. I know these things take time.
No, not Wednesday. Let's do like the
Tuesday?
End of this week. Yeah, why not?
Are you just kicking it back?
Yeah. Get in there. Subscribe. We'll pull the list.
You're
what Wednesday.
What
all right,
did I say? $300 of Pro Shop credit?
Yep.
We've got a couple other giveaways.
From Procured This Week in Augusta. Other no merch we made for
you
SGS.
You lost the game within the game.
Phil,
that means you got to take home the garden flag. You got to hang it up.
I'll put it in the background. I will.
No, you got to put it in your garden outside your house or something.
Are you serious?
Yeah. That was the deal.
Yes, ma'am, sir. I mean, ma'am. all right. Everyone enjoy your Mondays. We'll be back. We got Corrales Punta Cana. We got to get back on the horse here.
In-out alternate is coming up. We had to cancel.
Cutthroat corner. Can't do cutthroat corner. Yeah, the whole field is cutthroat corner.
We're hoping for some good pairings, but in-out and alternate will be rolling. And you know what? You know what's next week? I got great news.
What?
We got a signature event.
RBC.
RBC, the Davis Love Memorial Tournament. We're going to see who this year's DL3 was just in the perfect form, but it wasn't the right week for him.
Xander could be a potential. I see Xander maybe went in a $20 million purse. RBC.
That is a great, great call.
All right. Thank you, all of you. Please, we are very grateful that we get to do this, and a big part of that, most of part of that is
you guys listening. It's sponsors coming because you guys listen. Obviously, it's a silly show. It's we try to provide some serious insight. It's a great privilege to be here. And
can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
Do you think anybody can catch Scotty in the FedEx Cup?
I don't know what the FedEx Cup is at right now. Matthew Pavon was just probably in hell seeing him win again after his early season perch. Just get knocked down. All right, everyone enjoy your Mondays, your Tuesdays. We'll be back with you on Wednesday. Thank you so much for listening this week.